kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
We've come here today to learn, to hear what the Spirit would have us to know and to overcome in these days that we're living in. So much now is happening, and there is so much exposure taking place through this shaking that God is allowing and permitting. But praise God, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We have a haven, a place that is prepared for us, where we are in that spiritual ark, prepared by the Lord to protect us in these last days. That's the blessings of Psalm 91, is it not? But God would also have us to be mindful and watchful, and above all, to be a people praying and interceding. Hallelujah. Well, I have a title today for us to consider, and we're calling this teaching, As Overcomers, He Gives His Life. As Overcomers, He Gives His Life. If you and I, brothers and sisters, are to overcome and to run this last lap of the race that we are in, like any runner, they will know in that last part of the race whether they have the energy, the strength to finish it and to win. It's not such a problem when you start in the race. It's when you're coming to the end, whether you have that overdrive, whether you have that extra vessel of oil, whether you have prepared, that will be the standing for the final lap of this race. And it's exactly the same spiritually, brothers and sisters. It's whether we are yielding, trusting and believing and obeying what he's saying, because that will get us to stand in these last days. But what is that is given to us in this last lap? What is it that we are aiming for as overcomers? Well, the title gives us the clue if you look at it. As overcomers, we shall work at making it in. No, that's not what is there. It says, as overcomers, he gives his life. Who? He gives his life. That very strength and power, the very power that raised him from the dead, is the power and strength he gives us for this last lap of the race as overcomers. You have to draw from the life that is in Jesus Christ, graciously given to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you are trying this in any way or form, you will fail. We haven't the strength for this last lap of the race. Trust me. This is why we feel that many times we come to the end of ourselves. And God has a plan in bringing you and I to the end of ourselves. Why does he do this? Because it is your deliverance. And what is that deliverance? Much of that deliverance is that you cannot do it. You cannot even think it out. You cannot plan it. Nothing. This lap of the last race that we find ourselves in can only be the power of Christ in our lives to win that prize, that crown of glory. And so have you found yourself this week or last week coming to the end of yourself, coming to that place where there's nothing I can do in this situation. There's nothing. This can only be God that will bring me through. Well, brothers and sisters, this is what's making you an overcomer. This is what's showing you that only Christ in you, the overcomer, the one who has gone before, is the one that will achieve this in your life, your whole being. Remember, he's come with salvation to mind, body, and spirit. And what do we find so often fails us? It is the flesh. It's the flesh that we still try and fight with. But praise God, the good news is that the cross is doing its work. Now, what did Jesus say here in John 16 and verse 33? John 16 and verse 33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Not you, not me, not even this teaching, all of which is a blessing, but he says, "I have overcome the world." And what does he mean by that? Well, it's not only that he's overcome the world, the powers, the principalities, the very devil himself, but it also goes to you personally and to me. And he says, all in your life, all that I am delivering you from, all that I am permitting you to go through, I have overcome that for you. Hold on to it. This is why I keep saying we have to look to the atonement. We have to look to the cross. Everything stems from the cross, the atonement in our lives. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, because that focuses us on Christ, and it causes us to experience the life of Christ overcoming in me as I yield and as I obey and don't resist him. Then he takes over. How do you think these saints walk like they did? Some of them walk to martyrdom like they did. How do you think our Lord went to the cross as he did? He was only able to do this because the Father in him was empowering him to do it. The same as the early Christians. We all look at it and think, how did they do it? I couldn't do that. There's no way I could do that. You can't. I can't. But the one who is in you can and does. And we have got to understand this, not only understand it, but experience it as well. And this, of course, is why God has given us the deeper life and the teaching. He has overcome the world for your tribulations. And for this to be achieved, you need his peace. And here it is: "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." So he gives us the clue to how we overcome. And he says, it's this peace that you overcome by. That's the clue to it. Now, this word, peace, is an interesting word. Like I do, I like to look into these words, particularly when we are dealing with something as important as this. And this Greek word, irene, is from the verb which means to join up. And in the case, it clearly means that we join up with Christ. So in other words, this peace which is ministered to me through the new birth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, gives me assurance of my salvation. And therefore, because of the assurance of my salvation, in other words, nothing will separate me from the life of Christ, I fear nothing. This is what it does. Or in other words, I fear nothing from God and his leading and how he works with me. I have absolute assurance that every trial he allows and permits me to go through will not separate me from the love of Christ, in love of God in Jesus Christ. This is what it means. And he ministers that by his peace. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. The trouble is, we look for peace in the world. And that is what the Antichrist is coming with. That is what the New World Order is promoting. Peace, peace, peace. In the flesh, in the world. And Jesus said, as a result of that, sudden destruction will come. You cannot get this from the world. You cannot get this buying a new house or a new car or a partner or whatever it would be. These are all the things that we, you know, are deceived into believing. Not at all. He says that this peace is a joining. It's like soldering. We all know what soldering is, where you join two things together by soldering it together. You could also say glue does the same as well. And what it means is that I'm assured of my salvation. I fear nothing from God and his leading, and I'm content with my earthly lot, whatever form it takes. If I find myself in prison, I will be praising and worshipping God, just like the apostle did. This is why I stress so much, we have to be a grateful, thankful people. Because God has not got it wrong over our lives. And this is what it means by this peace. Now, let's look at some scriptures where this word is used, this peace, irane. Let's look at this in Mark 5:34. In Mark 5 and verse 34, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So what he's saying there to her is, you have been made one with me. I've not only healed your affliction, I've healed your soul, your spirit. You're now one with me. And that is the gift of God. And some have it and some don't. What does it say in Luke chapter 1, verse 79? Again, we're looking at this word peace, which means to be joined, to be united, to be made one. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So he comes to guide us in peace. And that's why the Spirit of God will lead us day by day. And we therefore shouldn't be surprised in what we encounter or what we see or whatever it would be. He has come to lead us into that peace. And that peace is ministered to by the fact of your assurance of your salvation in Jesus Christ. It may look strange, it often does. You cannot understand it. We know that God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, but we settle on it, that God is in control. There's a reason he's teaching me, he's guiding me, and he does it with this peace. The one who lives in your life, the Prince of Peace. You cannot get this peace otherwise. You can look for it around the world, you will never get it. It can only come in the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this word is used in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This word is used myriads of times, but I'm just selecting some scriptures that I think will be applicable and speak to us with regard to what we're looking at. In Luke 10, verses 5 and 6, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. So there we are. They were to go with this peace that's to be found in Jesus Christ. In other words, they're going, sharing the good gospel, the word of God, ministering the new life of Christ, that he can come and make his abode with you. That is the root of our gospel that we preach. Well, looking back in John 16, verse 33, we've therefore looked at this word peace. He says, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's why we count it all joy when we go through these trials. Why do we? And sometimes they really, really hurt. But we count it all joy. Why? Because Christ has overcome the world. He's overcome my trials. He's overcome what I'm going through, what I'm feeling, or what's happened to me. He's overcome my past life. My bad childhood I had, or bad relationships, or whatever it is. That's why you let it go. The devil tries to hold it and keep it in our minds and thinking. You let it go. Why? Because he says, I have overcome the world. And it means we're not believing that he's overcome the world. I said to you, God still works on our faith. Now, this word tribulation, it's an interesting word. The Greek word for it is thripis, and it means distress. It means oppression, affliction. That's what this word is meaning here, and we've got several illustrations of this word being used. For example, in Matthew 21, let's turn to this, Matthew 21 and Matthew 13 and verse 21, Matthew 13 and verse 21, apologies. And this word here is used the same. He says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So there's no root there. And because there's no root there, what is that root? The root is that Jesus said, I have overcome the world, because he doesn't really believe it. When those trials come, he falls. And they are trials in the world. He's got no root in himself. And so he only endures just for a while, because the tribulations and the persecutions, they arise and they expose the weakness. And that's why God allows us to go through these, because he's showing you. And many times when we go through these trials and tribulations, we don't always like what we see. We don't like what comes out of our mouth. How we're battling where we see unbelief. I'm not in the faith as I should be. This is really exposing something terrible in me. But these exposures, we can do something about them. And it's called prayer. And it's called bringing it before God. And it's called being honest and open. I'm not handling this, Lord. I'm going under with this trial. It's exposing terrible things in me. Have mercy on me. Help me. And you'll find the overcomer, the one who has overcome the world, you will find his power starting to take over in this situation. This is not rocket science. We make it difficult for ourselves, because we only turn to God when we find that all our resources, all that we tried, all that we have attempted to try and do fails, then we turn to him. But what does Jesus keep saying? He simply says these simple words, come, come to me. But we don't. We only come to him at the last resort, and sometimes it can be too late. Remember, we're talking about as overcomers, he gives his life. And this is essential, brothers and sisters. What did our Lord say in Matthew 24:21? For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, not ever shall be. So there's that word again. There's the same tribulations that you go through, but there are going to be the greatest tribulations that the world has never seen before. No one will be able to stand in that day unless God's life living in you will be able to overcome it. Even that. And yet he's showing us a way of escape from that. Nobody wants to be around when that takes place. Trust me. So our trials and tribulations that we're going through is absolutely nothing in comparison to what Jesus speaks of here in verse 21. You see, one of the revelations and understandings of the deeper life is overcoming. This is why we use this word overcomers so much. And of course, we know that this is clearly revealed to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Every church is commended with something to those that overcome. What does overcoming mean? It means to endure, to stay with it. Don't run away, because there's nowhere to run to. That's what it's meaning here. And this Greek word for overcomer means nikao. Nikao, and it means to be victorious, to carry. It to carry off something. It means to conquer. It means that you've achieved something in your life, the goal of overcoming in this life. And that's the understanding of this. And we get this, of course, in Revelation 12, where it speaks of the man-child, the overcomers. And look what it says here in Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. In other words, the death to the self-life. That life that still wants to fight independently of God. That word we use, the kenosis experience, the self-emptying. The same as Christ emptied himself through the trials and tribulations he went through, Hebrews tells us, so we do likewise. We empty ourselves so that he gives his life in order to overcome through us. That is the key of overcoming. I decrease that he increases. That's why John the Baptist was such a great prophet. When he saw the Lamb, he said, I now must decrease that he increase. He had a revelation of it. He saw it. He said, this is the one. This is the Lamb. This is the Messiah who's now going to take over. He's going to deal with man's problem, his flesh. He can't overcome his flesh, but I can. And we overcome as we yield to him and don't resist and fight him, as the Holy Spirit reveals in our lives. That is how we will overcome. We will run this race. And look, he says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by his blood. The atonement. This is why I say the gospel must always bring us back to the atonement. To the blood of Christ, to the provision, the covering. And by the word of their testimony. This is why we love the word. Because it is our testimony. It is our confession. It is that agreeing. When you speak out God's word, you are agreeing with God. You are agreeing with the word to speak out life. Hallelujah. And they did not love their lives to death. Only the life of Christ in you can do that. That you give up your life in this world. You present it on the altar, Romans 12, 1 and 2. No longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. I live by the life of Christ in me. And I'm focused on that by the atonement, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God, which we feed off. This is our spiritual food that enables us to live by that life that he's given to us in Jesus Christ. And he says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome every situation in your life, no matter how big it looks. And they look big, don't they? They look like mountains. It looks impossible. You'll always know when it's God, because it's impossible. You'll always know when it's God, because you're the only one walking that road. No one else wants to follow. These are some of the guidelines when you know it's the Holy Spirit in your life. What does it say in Revelation 17 and verse 14? Revelation 17 and verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. There you are, the promises of those who overcome. You will be with him. Who is doing it? The Lamb. The one who has overcome the world. He is there. Revelation 4. He's the only one that can open the scroll. He's worthy. Nobody else can do it. And they're praising and worshipping God because the one who opens the scroll was the one preserving and keeping their life in this world. What does it say in Revelation 21, verse 7? Revelation 21 and verse 7, we're looking at this word overcome. And it says here, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Sorry, that's speaking of the New Jerusalem, what God is going to give to us. And he says, sorry, in verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son or sons. So there we are. We're called to sonship, maturity. Babes can't inherit this. We have so many Christians who just want to be babies and be babied. They don't want to grow up. But the sons of God will. And how do you grow up? How do you mature into sonship? Through the trials and tribulations that are tailor-made for our lives. That's what's doing it. Because your trials that you go through is getting you to experience the one who's overcome in your life. It's getting you to live by his power, by his strength, by everything he is, even his faith to believe. And that is what the devil fights in your life. He doesn't want you to experience his life living in you, overcoming. Who is it overcoming? Him, the powers of darkness. And this is why he tries to keep us fear, inoperative. He tries to keep our eyes away from looking to Jesus, who's the author, finisher of our faith. Do not listen to any preacher or teacher who does not present your life, your heart, your vision to the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not doing that, do not listen to it. It's pointing you to self, to man, and the powers of darkness. The unction, the anointing of the Spirit that God's restoring back into the body of Christ is to glorify his name. Is to present you faultless before him. And that is what God is restoring ministry back to the church, to do that work with the remnant of this last day. I know at times I sound like a broken record. I've lost count how many times I've preached this sort of teaching, but I'm not going to give up on it because it burns in my soul, my spirit. It's what I know is the message for this hour, for all of us. And that is why we're only going to overcome when we learn through these trials that the life of Christ has overcome. That is why when you come through a trial and you think, I don't know how I came through this. I just don't know how this has happened. Well, I'll tell you how it's happened. The one who lives in you, who's overcome, he was the one who overcame for you through this. Christ has overcome this for me. Yes, it's hurting. Yes, I don't like it. Yes, it's exposing, but he has overcome this for me. Whatever trial you are facing, whatever weakness is in your life, my life, he has overcome this for me. This is the gift he's given to me through the new birth. This is what's presented to me as a blessing, as a gift. We've been given the resurrected life of Christ. He's dealt with death in our lives. He's dealt with sin in our lives. He's dealt with sickness in our lives. This is what he has done. And so where the enemy still tries to come with that fear and anxiety, we're going to find that that door starts to close in our minds. We're not going to entertain it anymore. And how do these doors close in our minds? By the life of Christ that is in you. He will not allow those doors to be opened into your mind. He is going to keep them closed. Because he is the doorway into the kingdom of God. That's why. And we know what this fear and anxiety can do. And we've all experienced it and will experience it. But let's listen to look at these scriptures again to remind us as we bring this to a close. John 14. John 14 and verse 3. John 14 and verse 3, and he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." It's all him doing it. We cannot do anything except he asks us to believe, to trust him. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17 tells us. That's how we get this faith to overcome. Because we're going to have to walk by faith in these last days. Trust me, the arm of the flesh is failing. You can't trust it anymore. What does it say in verses 23 to 27 of the same chapter? 23:27, he says, "Jesus answers and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid.'" There we are, brothers and sisters. He has said it all. I do it, not you. And all I ask is you simply believe. Trust me. And I will bring you through. And this is why we make so much about relationship with Christ. It's not about religion or ideas. It's a personal relationship with him, because that's the only way this will work. And what does it say in John 16 and verse 7. John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. What is he saying there? He says, I come back to you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what you have received through the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You have received him to take over now in your life, my life. And we mustn't limit him. And he's going to show us. He's going to protect us. He's going to lead and guide us. He's going to preserve us and keep us. That's what he comes back for. Because he's overcome the world. He sees all things. He sees what the enemy's trying to do. He's one step ahead of you. He's not going to let the enemy trick you or deceive you. That's what he's come back for. You can't do it. But he can and he does in your life. It's called discernment. So do I live by the power that's given to me? That's the question. And those tribulations, they test this, which we've been looking at in John 16:33. So this means then that I am being delivered in the trials and tribulations that I go through. That is our faith, that is our confession. My trials, my tribulations are that I'm being delivered. That is what it's working in me. And hold on to that. Adversities, trials will come, but don't fear it, because he has overcome, not you. He has. And the Holy Spirit gives us the strength in which to stand and endure. That's also what he's come for. I haven't the strength. You haven't the strength. But he has. He holds the world, the universe together by his word. And he lives in your life, my life. I mean, it's mind-boggling. You can't even get your head round that. But that is true. That is Bible. What does it say as we finish in Revelation 2, verses 7 onwards? Revelation 2. And verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In other words, he says, I'm giving you eternal life to those who hear. You will eat of me, because he is the Word. It's speaking metaphorically there. In other words, when we're eating of the tree of life, which is Christ in the midst of paradise, he is our life. We're one with him. This unity, this oneness. So here is this spiritual food. This is what strengthens us. This is what you are partaking of. Every time we come together, this is my food. This keeps me alive to stand in these last days. This is why we have such a love for the Word. That's the sign of an overcomer, the love for the Word of God. And we'll pay the price to get that Word. And victory is always for what? For God. For his glory, for his workmanship. And that's where it starts, and that's where it will end. And in the middle of it, you and I are caught up in the glory of it. But remember, you're overcoming. Everything that has been done in and through you and me is for the glory of God. And it starts with him and it finishes with him. That is why he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Heavenly Father, thank you again. You are meaning real business with us. We pick it up. We're understanding it. We know this is life for us. We are seeing what is happening in the world, but you are drawing us out of it, that we stand in these last days. You are our overcomer. You are the one who has gone before and prepared and overcome the world. And we do not stand in ourselves, as you clearly said, but in your strength and power and might. It is you triumphing, overcoming in and through us. May we never lose sight of this. Whatever the tribulations, the trials, whatever they are, let us hear coming, Father, out of our mouths, I will overcome this because he has overcome this. So, Lord, I thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for helping us. Bless my brothers and sisters. Be with them. Bless, preserve and keep them. May they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And bless their going out and their coming in. And may they continue to draw the blessings from Psalm 91 in their life, which is our assurance. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.